Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, viva, catbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison Kilitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy unchallenged by media biased media mediocrity foodborne in the NSA NRA USA home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Well, it seems that we are coming to you live now Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Instead of Sundays, we are here Mondays now. It's getting dark early, so it's not Pacific Daylight Time anymore. It's Pacific Standard Time. And then Ben, our wonderful engineer here, was ready to go an hour ago, saying, come on, aren't you ready yet? Come on, it's time to do the show. And I'm saying, what do you mean? I have an hour left. And, well, Ben is in Arizona, where they don't fall behind. They stay where they are, so he's actually an hour ahead of me now and didn't realize it. So we're just getting used to it. I can't get used to daylight savings time. I hate when it gets dark so early that I can't be optimistic until December 21st, or right? That when the days will start getting longer after that, the shortest day of the year. So anyway, so here we are. Until further notice, we will be doing the show live Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific time, which you can hear at goveganradio.com. So we are coming to you today live on Election Eve, if you can believe it. It's finally here tomorrow, as our country experiences a collective nervous meltdown right now after experiencing a campaign of criminality and corruption and deceit unimaginable until now. And that's only the director of the FBI. Who has been, over the years, way too concerned with, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. You never know when these animal activists might write animal rights slogans in the street with chalk. So we have to have agents out there, you know. Yeah, we have priorities here, you know. So, I mean, that's the priority. I mean, if, you know, if Saudi Arabia, you know, wants to steal the government, who cares? When we have the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act out there, USA, USA. You know, USA right now, I think, means USA, you Saudi Arabia. You Saudi Arabia. That's who you are now. And get used to it. And, you know, there they are in Saudi Arabia, executing people, beheading people in the streets, and we still have the death penalty in California, but we're voting tomorrow. We could actually ban the death penalty in California. I'll talk about that later in the program. Also coming later in the program, maybe we can try to get our minds off of the election, and that we're all just going to be so depressed Wednesday morning, no matter who wins. So, you know, we'll talk to Eric Weissman later in the program about, he's the founder, he's the creator of Evolution Vegan Dog and Cat Food. So, you know, we'll just get our minds off the election and imagine the perfect world where we're all vegan, the dogs and cats in our lives are vegan, you know, peace. Anyway, as I posted in Facebook, my feeling is that tomorrow, everyone who is not yet vegan can elect to take meaningful action that actually accomplishes everything that we want from government and politicians that we will never get from government and politicians. So I'm saying, you know, tomorrow's the day. Yeah, let's go vegan. You know, when you go vegan, you are voting for peace and nonviolence, and you're voting for the one and only solution for climate change. The one and only solution. It doesn't matter whether politicians recognize climate change or deny climate change. So what if nobody's talking about the one and only solution? The one and only solution, as mandated by the top climate specialists in the world, Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang, who have worked for the World Bank and did the only accepted assessment of the effects of animal agriculture on climate, called Livestock and Climate Change, which tells us that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, the number one cause of human-generated greenhouse gases, responsible for at least 51% of human-generated greenhouse gases. So, you know, you can do something tomorrow, okay? You know, don't expect climate solutions from Hillary. Remember, she's for fracking. She has spread fracking around the world. She will be for fracking after the election. You can count on it. She already admitted that she has, you know, a public face and a private face, you know. So you know that when she's in public, her face is lying. And when she's in private, she's telling those oil companies, don't worry, we'll still frack up the whole world. Don't worry. So, but you... You know, you don't have to depend on Hillary or Donald for the solution for climate change. We need 50 to 85% of the global human population currently consuming so-called livestock products to go vegan by 2020. That's the solution. When you go vegan, it's the solution for climate change. The only solution before it's too late. They can tell you it's alternative energy, but remember, an alternative energy infrastructure will take 20 years and $35 trillion. Good luck getting that from Hillary or Donald or Congress. The only solution is going vegan. That's the only solution to environmental devastation, the only solution for deforestation, resource depletion, and water crises, you know? So... that you go vegan, you're helping to achieve everything you'll never get from politicians. You know, you're voting for the healthcare plan to reduce your family's risks for heart disease and cancer, diabetes and stroke. When you go vegan, your action is voting to. It's not voting. It's actually the action. It's the platform. It's the platform in action. You're voting to feed the world and stop hunger. You're voting, you know, because then we can share resources and stop growing, you know, all the food for the animals. It's very inefficient, and you know, we are feeding the poor man's bread to the rich man's cow. So when you go vegan, you're helping to address world hunger. You're voting to end the death penalty for billions of innocent, harmless animals whose only crime was to be born into this world. So, you know, let's end, you know, we have endless wars. Let's end the endless war against animals, against the other species. You know, that's our longest ongoing massacre. Even longer than Afghanistan, if you could believe that, huh? And you know it. Your vote doesn't really count. I am still an undecided voter, if you could believe that or not. I haven't even decided if I am voting. I haven't decided if I am voting my conscience and voting for someone, or if I'm voting against someone. And then I don't even trust that if I do vote that it'll be counted for the person for whom it is intended, because I believe it's a totally rigged system. And if we're concerned about voter fraud, well, the Democratic primary was already stolen by Hillary, as we see with the very corrupt actions of the DNC. So I don't know. Maybe I'm still undecided. You know, I feel like, really, does our vote really count? But our collective action to go vegan does count, you know. So actually, you know, with all we've been fed for the campaign season has been propaganda and lies. If we are against Wall Street, vote against Wall Street by going vegan. Vote against the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction. That's what happens when you go vegan. Well, these sound like real progressive values. Somebody going vegan sounds like a progressive who really gets things done. Not like the, what do we have now? We have a new right-wing left with people like Michael Moore and Bill Maher and all of these formerly hip comedians who, I don't know, they're willing to accept, I guess, you know, war with Russia. You know, I mean, I guess when war comes to us from the Democrats, it's a good war. When we destroy our constitutional rights, then as long as the Democrats are doing it, we're happy to do it, right? So, and We have a new right-wing left that wants to elect a warmonger who wants to lead us to war with Russia. She already wants a no-fly zone in Syria. And U.S. generals have told us that a no-fly zone in Syria leads to not only war with Russia, but many civilian deaths. Let's elect somebody who has good experience at making war mistakes, right? So she can make even bigger and better war mistakes in the future. So what, you know, the Iraq War estimated up to 2 million civilian deaths. If we care about women and children, I wonder how many of the 2 million were they. But anyway, something positive can actually happen tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to come from the ballot box. It's going to start on your plate, really. When you know, if you really want to stand up to the system, go vegan. If you really want to declare your independence, go vegan. Join the revolution, go vegan. Okay? I mean, I think that's... What other choice do we have? It's all out of our control. It's all rigged. Did you see that? From the primaries to the media, all biased. What was it I wanted to talk about? I see that there are some changes. I wanted to talk about what's happening at HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States. The Hillary-supporting Humane Society of the United States. So many tabs open. Is that what it is? Tabs, tabs, tabs. Some changes at HSUS, by the way. It looks like two key players are trading positions there. First, you have Josh Balk, or I like to call him Josh Ernest Balk, because, you know, whether you're in politics, if you're involved with corruption, whether it be politics or a corrupt pseudo-animal rights movement, you do have to Josh earnestly. You have to be able to lie like a Hillary. So anyway, you have Josh Ernest Balk, who was the director of food policy for the Humane Society of the United States. Now, apparently, he's becoming the vice president of farm animal protection. Isn't that the job that Paul Shapiro has? Oh, it looks like Paul Shapiro is trading positions, and now he's going to be vice president of policy. So I guess we'll be getting to know Josh Balk a bit better. He played. In fact, shall we meet Josh Balk, the new Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States? He played baseball at Radnor High School. And because he holds the record for most wins and strikeouts as a pitcher, well, each year that school gives its best pitcher the Josh Balk Award. And, you know, there's nothing more valuable and meaningful to a pitcher than being awarded a Balk, right? Yes, that's B-A-L-K, Balk. Apparently, Balk continues to be a strikeout king, as far as I can see. Now, in the meat industry's pseudo-animal rights movement, as Balk has pitched cage-free eggs to corporations and universities for years. That's what he considers victories. When big corporations and universities decide to go with cage-free eggs. And then Balk throws a curveball at the public, selling us on the idea that grinding newborn male chicks to death and mutilating, imprisoning, and killing every female, one by one, by the billions, is some form of animal advocacy. And for throwing this spitball at the chickens, farm. The Farm Animal Rights Movement, the organization that organizes a very corrupt pseudo-animal rights conference on an annual basis. So what happens? Farm inducts Balk, this propagandist for happy mass murder. Farm inducts Balk into its Animal Rights Hall of Fame. Ooh, shame. So here's a guy who, when he steps up to the plate, really, when you come right down to it, he's batting zero. How many male birds has he saved from torture? Zero. How many male birds has he saved from being killed? Zero. How many female birds has he saved from torture? Zero. How many female birds has he saved from death? Zero. Four strikes and you are out. Well, except when it comes to that scam known as the Humane Society of the United States, the rancher advocacy group that is to animals what the Democrat Party is to the middle class. Sellouts. So now, for batting zero, Balk has been promoted, demoted, I don't know. What would you call it? Well, to a position where, to Josh earnestly, really is the most important job qualification, where you have to lie like a Hillary, which is an art that has been perfected at the Humane Society of the United States, which is the Clinton Foundation of Animal Advocacy. Only the Clinton Foundation has yet to be the target of a RICO, or racketeering charges, as has been the case with HSUS, actually, which through a settlement paid over $20 million in donor contributions to Ringling Brothers in its RICO settlement. That's right, over $20 million of your donations to HSUS went to Ringling Brothers, and Wayne Pacelli, the HSUS chief executing officer, lied like a Hillary in public to cover it up, saying insurance would pay it, not donors. But really, what insurance company covers racketeering expenses? Huh? And what a racket these racketeers have. I mean, it seems to be all about the money. So now there's a $20 million shortfall in donations. And even though the Humane Society of the United States is said to have $150 to $200 million in offshore savings, Heads had to roll at HSUS. Well, like pigs on Joe Maxwell's farm. And isn't it amazing that the supposed number one animal protection organization in the U.S. has had a pig farmer vice president? Someone killing 50,000 pigs annually on his supposed humane farm that was charged with humane violations by the USDA. Well, corruption rises to the top, huh? Anyway, heads rolled at HSUS because of this $20 million shortfall. And Wayne Pacelli said, just like Donald Trump, he said, "You're fired," to 55 employees. Now, my question is, why does HSUS need 55 employees anyway? Huh? Oh, probably to manage the executive salaries and perks for the meatheads running the place. And meathead, no, it's not an insult, okay? I mean, again, not intended, you know. It's just really referring to their leading positions in the butcher industry. They are meatheads. And, you know, and it looks like butcher boy Paul Shapiro, like pitchman Balk, continues to fail his way to the top also, having saved no animals whatsoever. Whomever, huh? Zero, nada, not one animal from the animal agriculture industry. Paul Shapiro, vice president of Farm Animal Protection, did not save one animal from the animal agriculture industry during his tenure as vice president of Farm Animal Protection. You know, which of course is a strange position to have in a rancher advocacy group, but okay. Having saved no animals from torture, imprisonment, and death during his tenure, a tenure during which his organization distributed coupons for pig flesh bacon. A tenure during which his organization sponsored a four-night slaughter fest called Hoofin' It, a promotion featuring a different hooved animal on the menu every night at Denver restaurants, four nights in a row. Tenure during which his organization wholeheartedly, well, I don't know, does HSUS really have a heart? During which his organization cold-heartedly threw all of its weight into partnerships with the egg industry, promoting furnished battery cages and lying like a Hillary doing it, and during whose tenure, again, you know, here you have it, cage-free eggs, the torture, imprisonment, and annihilation of every single one of hundreds of millions of, you know, countless chickens, countless birds. And during his tenure, cage-free eggs have become the main campaign of a really corrupt and compromised movement. So now Paul Shapiro is promoted or demoted, who knows, to vice president of policy. And I have to admit that these days, having seen how tainted, how biased, how, you know, bought off the mainstream establishment corporate media are, I don't believe a word I hear from, you know, ABC, NNBC, BS, PBS censorship channel, the CNN, you know, the Clinton News Network, AB Clinton, Clinton BS, you know, and even NPR, you know, part of that stable. So now, you know, everything is upside down. I mean, I can't relate to Michael Moore, Bill Maher, all of these comedians. I can't relate to, you know, the animal betrayal specialists who are the supposed animal rights movement. See, Daisy's upset also, right? So now I find Fox News to be a credible news source. Imagine that. Never would have thunk that. Fox News is a credible news source. It is giving both sides. The others don't give both sides. The others just say, I don't know, blame it on Russia, right? So it's odd that, you know, I have to get my animal rights news from, you know, something normally with which I really wouldn't agree. I don't agree with its policies and perspectives, but over here at humanewatch.org, keeping a watchful eye on the Humane Society of the United States for reasons other than I do, it has an article here saying, breaking, HSUS lays off 55 amidst budget crisis. And its article is, it labeled this as a sinking ship. And there's a graphic showing a sinking ship. So the sinking ship, Humane Society of the United States, HSUS, sinking ship. Hopefully from Humane Watch's lips to God's ears, or God, he, she, or it, or the universe, whoever. It says here, I'm quoting, in what could be termed Bloody Friday, we learned late last week that HSUS has laid off 55 employees in the middle of a major fundraising shortfall. Our understanding is that the figure is at least $20 million. I remind you again, HSUS gave at least $20 million to Ringling Brothers. So, okay, but anyway, so it says here, again, I'm quoting, quote, it sounds to us like a lot of charitable donors are wising up and figuring out that the HSUS ads they see aren't aligned with how HSUS spends their money. Should say spends its money. It says only at about 1%, it says only about 1% is given to pet shelters to help them care for animals. And most people don't know that. Also, they think that when they give to the Humane Society of the United States, people think they're supporting their local shelters. No, you have to give the money directly to your local shelters, not to this scam operation, HSUS, which, as it says here, gives about 1% to pet shelters. It says, and the donors probably don't know that the mail they get with branded socks or gardening gloves translates to a lot of money wasted. So here's what it says here. It says, here's what has to be a real slap in the face to HSUS staff. Not only were six-figure salary executives retained, and there are dozens of those around, so HSUS has dozens of people getting six figures. That's where your donations are going. And it says, well, a lot of the, well, what does it say here? So they retain the executives, and there are dozens of those. And it says here, quote, while a lot of little fish got flushed, not a metaphor that I would necessarily use, but I'm quoting here, but HSUS has parked about $150 million into offshore funds. Apparently, Wayne Pacelli, Mike Markarian, and other HSUS bigwigs weren't willing to dip into those accounts supplied by donor contributions to keep those 55 staffers employed. And continuing to quote, and all this isn't even the most shocking news to emerge from HSUS on Friday. We'll give you the rest of the story this week. Okay, whoops. Oh. Is that the rest? That's it for right there? Because I thought I saw a letter from Mike Markarian that was asking for, you know, an emergency donation, and he was sending people shoelaces. I think that's the big HSUS promotion. Let me see here. Document library, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, I won't find that right now. But, yeah, they apparently HSUS did have, let me see if I could find that. HSUS, you know, you take in $130 million a year, and you have $150 to $200 million in the bank. theoretically, you should do something good with that money, right? So I think that HSUS had a did have a wildlife sanctuary. Let me see here. Here it is. Oh, HSUS closes Wildlife Center. And apparently, again, it says, with the Humane Society of the United States recently laying off 55 staffers due to a serious financial shortfall, it's a time when the organization's true priorities show. I'm quoting again here. It says, And emerge they have. HSUS, which claims in marketing materials to care for more animals than any other U.S. group, (we still doubt this claim), is opting to shut down an animal care center that provides direct care for 2,000 animals a year while continuing to plow money into its lobbying campaigns. So here it says HSUS has made a disturbing decision to shut down the Cape Wildlife Center in Barnstable, Massachusetts. And apparently it only costs $750,000 a year to run that shelter. Let me see if I can find so here's the fundraising letter from Mike Markarian of the Humane Society of the United States. It's always emergency fundraising at this organization that brings in, you know, what, $130 million a year, has $200 million in the bank, but it's always an emergency. And so the Fund for Animals sent out a letter. Dear friend of the animals, when you take a look at the enclosed Fund for Animals animal footprint shoelaces, I hope you see more than just a new pair of shoelaces for your favorite shoes. I do. What I see is your name associated with one of the leading animal rescue, rehabilitation, and care organizations in the United States, the Fund for Animals. And the Fund for Animals was actually swallowed up by the Humane Society of the United States, which closed the fund office in San Francisco, which was run by our dearly beloved friend Virginia Handley for so many years. Anyway, so basically, HSUS, or the Fund for Animals as part of HSUS, is closing the Cape Wildlife Center in Massachusetts, which only costs $750,000 annually to run. But you get this letter, and you get a pair of shoelaces, and Mike is saying, I hope my letter has touched your heart and you will support the fund today. Your generous gift of $8, $12, $15, or even $25 will help. I don't know. What will it help to do? I guess it'll keep help paying those six-figure executive salaries. So there you have it. And they have no shame. And here I am. I hate asking for money. And I have a nonprofit, and I'm promoting veganism. We're a 501c3. I hate asking for money. Should I? You want me to send you a pair of shoelaces? Is that what it takes? I mean, you know, we're running. You know, we're promoting veganism. We're trying to save the world. I don't see HSUS anywhere saying that going vegan is the only solution for climate change. I don't really see HSUS saying go vegan much anywhere. Do you? No. It's saying eat those cage-free eggs and love McDonald's. In 10 years, McDonald's is going to switch to cage-free eggs. From the cruelty and murder of today to the cruelty and murder in 10 years. So, anyway, I guess this, what has this turned into? This just turned into a fundraising campaign for Go Vegan Radio, 501c3. We did not give $20 million to Ringling Brothers, so we won't have that shortfall. They're trying to make up the $20 million from a RICO settlement. No, we're just trying to keep a radio show on the air. We're trying to promote events. We're trying to raise money to organize another World Vegan Summit and Expo. But apparently all the money has been taken by the Humane Society of the United States and really not spent wisely. So there it has, hundreds of millions of dollars. And anything for the vegan cause, perhaps you'd like to donate to Go Vegan Radio. There is a donate button at Go Vegan Radio, or you can send a check to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And we would greatly appreciate it. Okay, so coming up on the program, we have Eric Weissman, the founder, the creator of Evolution Vegan Dog and Cat Food. And we will talk about the death penalty a bit later, too. Professor Francione off this week, and he's readjusting his schedule to Mondays. So he will be back with us next week on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And we are live now, Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. And you can also find the Donate button there to support the program. And we appreciate the support from Evolution Pet Food, Evolution Dog and Cat Food, Vegan Food. I especially appreciate it because Daisy, the love of my life, loves the Evolution dog food. And so we welcome the founder of the company, the creator, the Daisy chef, Eric Weissman. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. And thanks for having me as a guest, Bob.
Well, thank you for being with us, and thank you for the great contribution you make to the world, helping people have their dogs and cats go vegan. As far as I can see, you do more for the world than pretty much anybody in Washington, D.C., pretty much anyone in government or in politics. And and I thought I wanted to take my mind off of government and politics, but there I went. So I guess we're all pretty consumed at the moment and obsessed with what's going on. I presume that's the case where you are too, in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, this is Minnesota, the hellhole of the planet. I mean,
well,
you know, the
and I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce put you up to that, and the Minnesota Convention Center asked you to speak on its behalf like that. That was a beautiful endorsement.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm
what
sure
a, what a beautiful endorsement
accolades.
For a state.
I'm sure I'll get a lot of accolades from the mid-central United States Congress or whatever the hell they are.
Well, in Minnesota, you had Jesse Ventura, kind of an outsider in office there as governor for a while. How were things with him? He's probably going to run for president sometime in the future again. I imagine
Jesse Ventura had his life threatened when he was doing that television program. You know, he was doing it. You know, a documentary TV program on, you know, corruption in government. And he wasn't too popular, to say the least, with people inside, you know, the CIA and the DFL and the GOP. They couldn't stand that program, and they threatened him and his life if he continued it. So I don't think we'll see Jesse Ventura running for a governmental post anytime soon.
Interesting, because I've seen him interviewed fairly recently, and it sounded like he was thinking about it, considering. Well, we now know that pretty much anybody is qualified to be president of the United States at this point. Anybody is qualified. And I invite all of my listeners to run for, you know, and where are we in 20,
underqualified.
2020?
Anyone is underqualified to run for the presidency.
It takes quite a person to pursue that job. Usually somebody who's fairly open to, killing many people, you know, bombing people.
Mention the animals. I mean, they talk about the people they're killing. They probably killed several million there in the last, 14 years since they invaded Iraq. But, think of the billions of animals that were destroyed by the U.S. military in Libya, of course, in Iraq and Syria now, and Yemen, and, of course, the list goes on, Afghanistan and also Pakistan. U.S. military is very busy.
They're victims of war too, but then even if they're not victims of war, they're victims of people's appetites or people's lack of fashion sense or, who knows what.
Maybe they're victims of the Clinton Foundation.
Either victims or it seems like the Clinton Foundation now has all the money in the world, and that's why it's so popular and people are willing to speak with deception. I don't know why I'm hearing music starting in my headphones now, but Ben, I don't think there's we're not going to a break. Am I imagining music? Do you hear the music too, Eric?
No.
Okay.
Must be one of those songs that you just can't get out of your head.
Right. It's this one is the Pat Metheny group, it sounds like. I have a lot of good music running through my head after being a music program director in radio for so many years. It's actually in my blood. I want to program a music radio station again, or I want to figure out a way with all the royalty fees and all of that. At some point, I have to do that again. I was a program director, minding my own business, just playing music on the radio and making a living. So that was
when
nice.
When my wife wants to piss me off, she starts playing the theme from the Titanic over and over and over again.
Ah, okay.
And then it takes me about 2 or 3 weeks to get that song out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately,
I'm with me, it's the last song I hear stays in my head for a while, so that's pretty much the way it goes. And now, with YouTube, I can hear any song I want, even the most obscure, and keep that in my head, and Daisy and I just sing our way through the day. So,
please don't mention the name Celine Dion to me, please.
I won't, and I won't play any of her music on Radio Bobby if there ever is one. So it won't happen. So Eric, how did evolution come to be? I mean, I go around with Daisy everywhere, and everybody loves animals, and I tell them, we love animals so much too that I'm vegan, and Daisy is vegan also, and they're always amazed that. A dog would be vegan, and Daisy loves evolution. I'm just wondering, how did it all start for you? When did you think about, I think I'll start a company that puts out vegan dog and cat food? Like, how did this all come together?
Okay, so I was rescuing dogs and cats. Okay, this is back in the early to mid 80s. And I was taking in homeless dogs and cats, and they were contracting these weird diseases. And I was going to the veterinarian, or veterinarians, actually. I had a few veterinarians that I was visiting with. And at that time, I was practicing I was a practicing chiropractor and acupuncturist. And I was getting these blood panels back, you know, from the veterinarians I was going to, and hematology reports. And these animals were getting sick from, you know, these peculiar diseases. Some of them were actually undefined by the blood chemistries and hematology reports that I was reviewing. And I was asking the vet, well, how could this be happening? I mean, I'm buying, you know, relatively expensive pet food, and they're in a good, clean home, and they were getting sick with these diseases. Okay, so then I thought to myself, well, you know, I think I'm going to investigate what they put in pet food, what they really put in pet food. And when I found out what they really put in pet food, you can read Ann Martin's book, Pet Food to Die For. That is a factual book, and she came out with a second edition. But through my own investigations, I found out that they only use discarded animals or substandard animals in pet-grade foods in the United States. The millions of baby male chicks and the sick layer hens that are too sick or too old or too spent to produce, you know, enough eggs, sick farm animals, horses, donkeys. You know, we're hearing about the 45,000 horses that are being rounded up by the Bureau of Land Management, and the poor donkeys, and they're being incarcerated and being killed for pet food, ground up in the grinders at these pet food plants. And unfortunately, it's shameful, but this is another government subsidy to the meat industry, and in particular the pet food industry, because they really don't have to disclose the ingredients in pet food if they pay off the officials enough money or have their own official sitting in an agency capacity at the FDA or, you know, the Departments of Agriculture and so forth. You can't trust the meat industry, poultry, fish, slaughter industry at all. You know, they don't have to disclose the ingredients in meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and egg products. They don't have to tell you the steroids, the antibiotics, the sodium nitrate, the radiation that goes into the meat, poultry, fish products, the dairy, dairy egg products that you pick up at the grocery store. And in a similar fashion, the pet food industry doesn't really have to describe fully the ingredients that go into pet food. They don't have to tell you the types of animals, provided they put a cover label on it that says animal byproducts and so forth on the label. They might have some chicken, but, you know, it's the spent sick chickens that are in that food. And when I found that out, it hit me. That's the reason why the dogs and the cats that I was taking in are dying prematurely. It's the ingredients in the pet food. So I figured, you know, I couldn't do any worse by making plant protein pet foods myself. And at that time, there was one or two companies that were making plant protein pet foods on the side. You know, there was Wysong. There was Nature's Recipe. But they were meat pet food companies that were making a plant protein pet food as a sideline. And if anybody's listening and considering going to a plant protein pet food, you're going to get a much cleaner, safer product. But I urge you, I urge you not to buy plant protein pet foods from a meat-based pet food company, because you really don't know what you're getting, and you're still supporting the meat, poultry, fish, slaughter industry by doing it. Now, for 28-plus years, actually more than that, but I'll say 28-plus, considerably more than that. I've been experimenting, studying scientific reviews, looking at blood panels, blood chemistries, hematology reports, x-rays, you know, from the animals that I've been feeding the food, plus my clients' animals around the country. And I can tell you that you can have a very long living and healthy dog and cat on plant protein pet foods, plant oil pet foods, because we've done it. We're doing it. We're doing it right now. And I think in the future, we're going to see much longer living dogs and cats, you know, because of some of the technology that I've incorporated into evolution pet foods. I can't say for sure now, but I can tell you this. We can't say that your cat or your dog is going to have a longer life expectancy on our food, because the government has told me that if I want to say that, we have to do a significant scientific study and have it published in one of the national or international journals of science before we can actually tell you that we can offer longer life expectancy. What I can tell you is that we've had cats live into their early 20s, and we've had dogs live into their late teens and even early 20s. The dogs don't live as long typically as the cats. We've had some very long living ones, but for the most part, cats live longer. But they can do it really well, and it's amazing how beautifully they grow older, with beautiful coats and brilliant health and vigor, and they're on a totally plant-based diet. I do add supplements,
so that means
and I've
vegan.
Been testing.
When you're saying plant-based,
yeah.
You mean vegan, right?
So, yeah, plant-based vegan.
I'm not quite sure I actually understand what plant-based
yeah,
means.
All plant oil, plant protein, pet foods, you know, with minerals.
Right, so your dog and cat food
vitamins.
Is 100% vegan then, 100% vegan.
Yes, it's vegan,
yes.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
that's what I want people to understand. And plant-based doesn't. I don't know if that means that to people. I heard a chef once say it doesn't necessarily mean eliminating all animal products.
All animal products. That's true. When I'm selling people on the idea, though, a lot of times I won't use the word vegan, partly because, you know, they've been brainwashed into thinking that vegan is bad. I don't know where they're getting this misinformation from, but the term vegan
they're
is
they're getting
bad,
it from
like
a corrupted animal rights movement that doesn't want to talk about it, that's afraid of the word. The most beautiful word I've ever heard that says so much, you know, about life. You know, the truth of life is in the word vegan. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. But when you're explaining it to people, I mean, you know, when I'm convincing people to get meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and egg products out of their diet, I tell them about the horrors that are caused by saturated animal fat and LDL cholesterol. And let me tell your audience that saturated animal fat and LDL cholesterol are the two most critical progenitors of disease that we are exposed to in this country and humans around the world. These two entities, these two pathogens, saturated in animal fat and LDL cholesterol, progressively block and destroy our arterial system every time humans consume them. And it's progressive from infancy. And that's because humans are herbivores. I want to tell you what the study
saw. Exactly.
Yeah, we're herbivores. We're not carnivores. From a scientific standpoint, we are classic herbivores. And when we eat animal products, it is destroying our circulatory system progressively. And I'll tell you, without circulation, without adequate circulation in your system, we are progressively dying. That's what I'm saying. We are progressively dying every time we eat meat, poultry, fish, dairy, and eggs. Our skin starts to sag. Our joint starts to rot out. Our bones are rotting out. Our brains rot out. And so does our heart, because and our other vital organs like the liver and the kidneys and adrenal glands, because as the circulation decreases, so does the function of our vital organs, including our skin, makes us look old and saggy way before we need to. So if you want to help yourself and you want to help your dogs and cats, the fact is, the scientific facts prove this, that the same thing that happens to humans happens to dogs and cats when they develop thyroid failure, when they develop pancreatic failure, when they develop intestinal failure. As they age, what happens is their organs fail, and as they do, they start developing the same arterial disease that humans do. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can look this up. But the reality is it's happening in your dogs and cats, and that's why they're dying prematurely. And that doesn't include all the horrific chemicals and drugs that they put in these poor slaughter animals to make them grow faster and make their flesh look pinker and more full of fat sooner so that they can kill them at a higher weight with less time. All the antibiotics, all the growth hormones, the steroid growth hormones, the sodium nitrate, and that doesn't include the radiation that they treat the animal flesh with before they put it on grocery shelves. So,
and
you know, a lot
I've,
of this...
I've heard, it's kind of gross, but I've heard that rendered dogs and cats wind up in... pet foods that so it's the euthanizing agent and you know, the dogs and cats who are euthanized go off to the rendering plant, and they can wind up in pet foods along with the euthanizing agent.
And they do. Yeah. They kill millions of them every year from the animal shelters, and the city governments are just part of this paradigm where they give a subsidy to the meat industry with the ground up dogs and cats, you know, or they send them to the rendering operations, grind them up, just like they do the horses, the donkeys, all the other unwanted, unfortunate farm animals.
The male chicks from the egg industry.
The baby male chicks.
Baby male
by the millions every day.
By the millions, even from the cage-free
yeah.
egg industry, right? So.
Of course.
You know, even from,
it's just absolutely disgusting. It's disgusting, and this is the poultry that they put in the pet food. And you know, if you ask your government, you know, agency like your State Department of Agriculture, if this is happening, oh, they'll say, oh no, that doesn't happen here. No, they won't tell you. It's like the rest of the government agencies. They will not tell you the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens
are regularly fed arsenic too, you know, which people consume, mm-hmm. or I guess it could go into the, you know.
And people, you know, Bob, people ask me, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And I explain to them, you know, it's all about money, because the chemical drug industry, and I'm talking about the Monsantos, I'm talking about the Mercks, I'm talking about the Park Davises, I'm talking about Bayer, you know, I'm talking about all these companies that manufacture chemicals and drugs, and chemical drugs together, bilk the public for billions of dollars by putting their chemical drugs in slaughter animals, and then getting people sick, and then making money off people again when they come back to their doctors to buy more chemical drugs. That's what it's all about. It's a closed cycle of business for these multi-billion dollar corrupt corporations that really run our government. I shouldn't say our government, because it's really not our government. It's
right.
The government of the corporations.
The government of the corporations, the government of the Clinton Foundation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Pay a bribe to the Clinton Foundation, and who knows what favors you get.
All kinds of favors. Look at the favors. Look at the wars. Look at the weapon systems being sold to Saudi Arabia. Look at the devastation that Saudi Arabia is doing in Yemen. And, you know, look at what's happening in Syria. I mean, you've really got World War III already started, but it's on a smaller scale. I mean, you know, Clinton's been involved in assassinations in South America and in, you know, of course, Africa.
Regime change and fixing
elections. Regime changes. Yeah, of course. That's all about...
So why wouldn't we think this election is fixed here? If they're willing to do it, you know, in Haiti or... I've also heard in Japan, around the world, there have been regime change. And we wonder, can our elections be fixed here? Well, the primaries were fixed here against Bernie Sanders, even as the WikiLeaks revealed. So, of course. So it's
and you're
kind of
you know, Bob,
control.
you're heroic. You're heroic for talking about this stuff on your radio program. You know, you and Gary really. I think all of us in the front lines are risking our necks by talking about the reality of what's going on here. I mean, you know, really the reality of the corruption in government here, and, you know, who knows what'll come of it, but it is scary.
It's a scary place to be. Yeah,
I
think, though, that Julian Assange is a hero and Edward Snowden is a hero, although not to Hillary Clinton. She wanted a drone strike, Julian Assange, and Snowden, of course, you know, she wants to put away or probably, you know, do away. Chelsea Manning, all for, you know, the whistleblowers who are, you know, revealing, you know, WikiLeaks is playing the role of responsible media right now, of responsible
absolutely.
Media, which we don't
absolutely.
Get from. We don't get from
absolutely.
The Clinton News Network, the New York Times, which is, you know, sending and articles
you.
To get
and
approved.
You.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Linden Radio. Yeah.
Great. Put me on the map so that Hillary Clinton knows to think like Julian Assange and Bob Linden in the same thought. Just what I'm looking for right now.
Really? Really, what a nightmare! What a nightmare! But you know what?
I'm nervous about war with Russia. You know, I'm tired of blaming. You know, I think that I'm supposed to blame all the bad ingredients in dog and cat food on Russia, aren't I? Isn't that who's responsible?
There's the reason. Yeah, it couldn't be because of corruption and greed in government. It couldn't be that reason.
Couldn't be that. It has to be Russia, I'm sure.
So. It has to be Russia, yes. Those damn commies.
So
ISIS. Don't forget ISIS.
Don't forget ISIS,
funded, blame it on them.
Funded by Saudi Arabia.
And the Taliban.
Qatar.
The Taliban.
Right.
The Taliban. Yeah.
Right. And ISIS, I mean, Saudi Arabia openly admits to funding and supporting ISIS, and so does Qatar. Of course, Saudi Arabia gave up to $25 million to the Clinton Foundation and in return got amazing weapons deals. Qatar gave Bill Clinton $1 million as a birthday present. You know, who's running? You know, as far as I know, you know, Saudi Arabian foreign agents are running this government. I mean, who knows? Does anybody act on behalf of the American people? You know, our environment? You know, it's like who's taken over? I don't even know who these people are. They're probably
we really don't know per se, but you know that we do know that the cabinet is formed. You know, the president's cabinet. Is formed of, you know, people from industry, the corporations, and they're really telling the president what to do and say every day. The president really is just a shill or a figurehead,
right.
You know, that
and,
is
and
a,
as
a puppet.
Said, as Hillary yeah. said, she has a private position and a public position. Mm-hmm. So when she's mm-hmm. talking to the corporations, you know, she's mm-hmm. talking honestly, and when she's talking to the public, She's lying, basically. She admits to lying, you know. So it's the first time she's ever been
honest.
I've
seen her up there.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen her up there.
The first time
look at Obama talking out of both sides of his mouth
right.
every time he opens it.
Right, Obama. What are you going to do other than, okay, I guess we have to create the peaceful world. Oh, so now you saw all of these terrible ingredients going into commercial so-called pet food. What did you do? Go in the kitchen with a blender and start, you know, like, how did you start to formulate? What were you thinking? What ingredients? How did you know that Daisy would like to eat the evolution dog food every day? You know what I mean? Like the flavor, what was your thinking in getting this all together? You were saying like, wow, I can't be giving, you know, these horrible ingredients, these sick, dead animals and chemicals and drugs. So what was the thinking then? Okay, I will come up with a recipe. What were you thinking then to get things
so
started?
So I came up with some ideas for ingredients and I, worked with one of the foremost animal nutritionists in North America, and his name was Darwin Breitzman. And he was the man that I worked with to develop evolution in the beginning, and then I've worked with other nutrition scientists since then. And, of course, I've developed my own science, because I've been working in supplement formulation technology to apply to, you know, diseased organs and different disorders in humans, dogs, and cats for over 28 years. I started doing the food and the supplementation at the same time. And again, I was practicing chiropractic back then. And when I got involved in the science of supplement formulation technology, I quickly realized that this is probably the answer to a lot of the illnesses that, you know, humans are dealing with, certainly with dogs and cats. And I started categorizing formulations and, you know, looking at before and after blood chemistries and hematology reports and x-rays, and I can tell you that supplement formulation technology has arrived at a point now where it far surpasses, you know, medicine, you know, and certainly doesn't have the side effects, the damaging side effects of chemical drugs. But the reason why you don't hear about the technology is because the chemical drug industry doesn't make money by, you know, selling supplements to the public. There is one supplement that doctors do sell to the public. That's fish oil. It's the only one I've ever, and
right.
Vitamin D. Vitamin D maybe. But fish oil's the big one. And fish oil really has no benefit at all. It's actually detrimental. And I know that the reasons why doctors keep selling it to the public is because it's loaded with saturated animal fat and LDL cholesterol. And if they're making claims that there's omega-3 fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatories, in the fish oil, they're lying. They're outright lying because they have to run fish oil under heat to purify it, heat purification, so that it's, you know, can be used as a supplement. You know, they have to kill all the pathogens, the disease-causing entities in the fish oil. And by doing that, they destroy the omega-3 fatty acids. So fish oil is no benefit and many, many detriments to human health.
A big scam. And also heavy
huge.
Metals also, right? I mean, fish oil.
Heavy metals, yeah, all that.
Contamination.
You know, if you want a good anti-inflammatory for your dog or cat or for yourself, take flaxseed. Grind it up, fresh flaxseed every day, the organic flaxseed has tremendous benefits. It's loaded with omega-3 fatty acids as long as it's not heated. It's best to keep it in the freezer, you know, if you make grind too much. And never buy the pre-ground flaxseed. Always buy the flaxseed that is not ground, or buy the flax oil and keep it in the freezer. It thaws in 30 seconds after you take it out of the freezer. It's an excellent anti-inflammatory. It lubricates the arterial system, the joints, the intestines. It reduces inflammation throughout the body. Keeps you looking younger.
What do you use to grind it then, or how do you grind it?
Electric coffee grinder. I want to remind people, though, never give your dog or cat coffee because it can literally kill them. Caffeinated coffee can cause, immediate cardiopathy in dogs and cats. So never expose your dogs and cats to caffeinated beverages at all. So keep that away from them. Always clean out the coffee grinder if you're going to use it for grinding flaxseed. Just a safety tip.
Right. Okay. What else? We've heard that dogs shouldn't get chocolate or grapes. I mean, what?
Sure. Chocolate and grapes are
foods that should not be. Dogs shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, grapes are sprayed. Apples, the non-organic apples, not really safe for dogs or cats. Grapes are not safe. I wouldn't even use the organic grapes, just because, you really can't trust government agencies here. So I would keep grapes away from cats and dogs completely. Organic apples are generally safe for human consumption and dog and cat consumption. And they have a tremendous advantage that organic apples, have been proven to reverse atherosclerosis or plaquing of the arteries in humans and in dogs and cats. So if you want to grind up a little apple for your dog and cat, don't forget, always organic apple. It's a great idea if you can mix it in their food and get them to eat it, because it helps clear out their arterial system.
So an apple a day keeps the veterinarian away.
It really does. It really does. Not to mention the medical doctor, and that's why you'll never hear of a veterinarian or medical doctor advising you to eat an organic apple or getting your dog or cat to eat organic apples every day or parts of them, because they want that business. They've got to get
so
those.
So organic apples are good. Organic apples are good mixed into dog and cat food. Anything else? Any other little helpful
Vitamin C is very important for dogs and cats. They do produce their own vitamin C, but as they get older, their adrenal glands produce less and less vitamin C. And vitamin C is the precursor to the protein formation of the membranes and the cartilage of the joints and also the skin of the dog and cat, just like it is in humans. But, humans do not produce their own vitamin C, so we have to take it from an external source. But again, as dogs and cats age, they produce much less. And that's why older male cats and female cats and dogs have a higher tendency to develop urinary tract infections and blockage, because they're producing less vitamin C to acidify their urine.
So should they be eating foods with vitamin C or have a vitamin C supplement, would you think?
It's better and cheaper just to use a vitamin C supplement. That way you're guaranteed that they're getting the right amount. You can't really trust the food supply here for micronutrients. I know you see all these commercials on TV for, these food grinders, these food processors, and, they tell the public, oh, yeah, you're going to get your micronutrients from grinding the spinach and grinding the apples and grinding, all these vegetables. But the fact is that we're living in the second most toxic country in the world, next to China. This used to be the number one most toxic country in the world, and the only reason why it isn't is because China has taken a lot of industry out of the United States. U.S. corporations can get things made more cheaply in China than they do in the United States, so they moved all that industry, and a lot of the toxicity moved away with the industry, which is fortunate in one way that we got rid of a lot of these toxic industries. But on the other hand, of course, we have less jobs. That's another issue.
Definitely.
I do want to mention one really important thing, though. Okay, so we have a very toxic environment. It's a good idea to drink distilled water or get a tabletop distillery because you can't trust the tap water here. And, you know, you can use reverse osmosis. You can get a reverse osmosis filter. That's the next best thing to a distillery. Or you can buy distilled water, but try and buy it in the hard plastic jugs, because the soft ones have BPA in them. And this unfortunate chemical makes the plastic soft, but it also causes genetic damage to humans.
Glass would be preferable, but I don't see much distilled water in glass. I do see spring water
right.
in glass.
Right, right. Skip the spring water. You can't trust it.
Can't trust anybody or anyone except us,
except us. That's why it's so important to support
Trust me.
Vegan.
Trust me.
Yes.
Go vegan. Trust me. Trust me. Go vegan.
That's right. So. No, seriously, those are the most important words. Just going vegan can help save billions and billions of lives. You know, of course, from the people in our movement, but one person going vegan, one person can save millions of lives in a year. And I'm not talking just about the slaughter animals. I'm talking about all the poor animals that get killed and get ground up, you know, to feed the slaughter animals, you know, the ones that are destroyed in the fields. I mean, the killing is not just of the poor animals that the people eat, but it's all the other animals that are destroyed by the crops and by, you know, the killing machine, the rendering operations that grind up the dogs and cats and refeed them to the cows and the pigs, the chickens.
Since animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, it's either go vegan or perhaps extinction. So
we're on our way. There's no doubt about it.
We're on our way. We keep eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs will lead us to extinction, and the only solution is to go vegan. So go vegan and I'm just wondering if there are any other helpful tips for snacks for dogs and cats that you might have. We mentioned apples. I'm just wondering if you have any other foods that you think, as a treat or whatever, this would be good to get.
Bananas are very good for dogs and cats if you can get them to eat them. For dogs, the best way to get them to eat bananas are with peanut butter. And if you buy our food and you're having difficulty feeding it to your dog, just mix it with a little peanut butter. Most dogs just love peanut butter, so it's an excellent palatant for picky dogs.
And right now, so Daisy seems to enjoy both canned varieties that you have. What are they? You have a blue can and a red can, right? So what's the difference?
Veggie stew. We have the gourmet veggie stew, and we have the gourmet entree, and we have gourmet fondue, we have gourmet pasta, dry foods, and also the maximum life, which is grain-free and gluten-free. Again, they're all vegan, and 28 plus years of scientific studies, experiments, and also development of these products, and we're getting exceptional life expectancies in most cases, not all, but most, of both dogs and cats. We've actually had rabbits on the food. My last rabbits both lived to 13 and a half years old, which is good for rabbits. And even my mice eat the food, but moistened. You know, I add water to the food for our test mice, and we keep them in big fish tanks, and we, you know, clean them up and give them wheels, and they just love their lives, by the way. These are not evilly treated mice like in laboratories. But
yeah,
we've been
you're
getting
not talking
them,
about
some of,
animal experimentation here necessarily.
No, know, like, not at all. Except for the fact that we've been watching them live their wonderful lives. You know, in I admit some captivity, but let's face it, if you let them out, you know, you can't watch them, and the other thing is you can't take care of them. And believe me, these mice eat and live a life that is exceptional. The dogs that we have, of course, they're inside for the most part, except for their walks. And we keep all our cats inside because, you know, if they're let outside, they kill birds and other wildlife. So we do our best to keep our cats indoors.
Sure. Okay. Well, we're talking to Eric Weissman of Evolution Dog and Cat Food, Evolution Pet Food. And you can order through petfoodshop.com. petfoodshop.com. We have maybe another minute or two if there's anything else you wanted to mention. Or
Sure. A couple of other things. I'm urging people to keep Noni 450 milligrams on hand. Noni is a broad-spectrum antitoxin. It's actually a fruit. The technical name for Noni is Morinda citrifolia. But this particular encapsulated product, Noni, is an excellent broad-spectrum anti-emetic. In other words, it stops vomiting in dogs and cats, and in humans, by the way, and reduces the tendency to feel nauseous. And it's a great antitoxin. It's something to keep around for infectious diseases, whether it's of the urinary tract.
That's a juice, right? Noni juice. It's a juice you're talking about.
They have Noni juice, but it's not as concentrated as the capsule. So the capsule is really the one to use therapeutically. And Noni comes in a 450 milligram capsule. Typically, it's sold by Now Foods, the one I use. Mm-hmm. And it's an excellent entity to keep on hand. If anybody has questions about a sick dog or cat and you don't want to go the chemical drug route with your veterinarian, call me. I've got more than 28 years of experience supplementing dogs and cats with formulations that I developed, you know, for cancers, various forms of organ failure, and we've had very good success. I won't say in 100% of the cases, otherwise I'd have, you know, cats that are living to, you know, 35, 40 years old, same for dogs. But I will tell you, in most cases, they work better than chemical drugs, and they don't have the side effects. And unfortunately, it's often the side effects of the chemical drugs that are being sold to you by your veterinarian and medical doctor that are actually killing the patient. And that's the sad fact that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people die in the United States every year, not to mention dogs and cats, from the side effects of the chemical drugs being sold to them by the medical industry. So I hope you'll keep that in mind. There is a different way. We always give free consultations and evaluations, and you can call me anytime at 651-221-9056. 651-221-9056. Thank you so much, Bob, for having me on your program. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being
just
with
one
us,
other.
Eric.
Yeah, just one other thing. I want to remind people we're not the only vegan pet food company on the planet. Again, there is Ami Pet Food. There's Bonovo. There's V-Dog. But if you're buying pet food, I urge you to buy from a vegan company. They are the only companies you can trust, really, for the ingredients that are going into your pet food. You want cleaner pet food? Buy from an honest vegan company. There's, you know, at least three others I know of. Sorry, mm-hmm. I know of. Again, it's Ami and Bonovo and V-Dog. And, of course, there's us, Evolution. And again, thank you so much, Bob, for having me on.
Right. And we support 100% vegan businesses. Why not, you know, make, you know, if you're buying a product or you're going to a restaurant, why not support the people who have really put it on the line, you know, to do something, you know, to really, you know, take an extra step to, you know, an extra step. I mean, much more than that, an extra leap, really. And people who have vegan businesses depend upon us. So they're not the big corporations. And yeah, if you have the choice, go to a vegan restaurant, 100% vegan restaurants that are going for the vegan option someplace, or, you know, buy the vegan ice creams. Don't go to Ben and Jerry's. And yeah, you know, buy vegan dog or cat food from vegan companies. We're 100% behind you on that. So definitely.
Yeah.
So
look, if we were in it for the money, we'd be making meat-based pet foods like all the rest of the companies. I would have been a rich man already, you know.
Right, and this radio program would be go eat hamburgers with Bob Linden, right, if we were doing it for the money, right?
So. Right, exactly.
or go buy cage-free eggs, come to think of it. Yeah. I can think of a lot of animal rights groups who apparently, I don't know if they're animal rights groups, but they're in it for the money, you know.
They're
promoting cage-free eggs.
Exactly, anything for a buck, animal rights groups.
Yeah, anything.
I mean, that's what it boils down to, unfortunately.
Right. And you have
very
unfortunate. You know, we have all of these groups who are supporting cage-free eggs, and then, you know, we have you on, and we think about, you know, what happens to all the males, all those male chicks who are ground, you know, ground alive or suffocated. They wind up in commercial so-called pet food. So
not to mention their mothers.
Right. Nobody gets out alive. Nobody gets out alive. So why are we, you know, why are we promoting cage-free eggs when we have to help the world go vegan? So, okay. Well, thanks for being with us, Eric, and thanks for your support, and thanks for what you're doing.
You're doing an amazing job. An amazing job, Bob. Thanks for your tenacity and heroism. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll have to agree with you. Okay. We'll have to agree to agree. So,
okay.
Thanks, Eric. Okay. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. And we will continue. If you like to support this program, you can do so with a tax deductible donation. You can find the donate button at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and there are also a couple of extraneous Bob Linden Facebook pages that stay maxed out at about 5,000 each, and then people get upset when I say certain things about certain groups, and that makes room for more friends, as friends aren't my friends anymore when I say bad things about the people who are misrepresenting animals. I would like to thank Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant for its support year after year after year on this program. And in January, what will January be? Is that our 16th birthday in January? Let's see, we started in 2001. So in January, 16 plus 1, 2017. So, yeah, in January it'll be 16 years that Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden has been broadcasting and heard. And I was just a child when I started this show. And I'm staying a child because I eat great vegan food. I was at Vegetarian House a few weeks ago. Check out that menu. It's just an amazing array of just the most delicious, fantastic international cuisine items. Vegetarian House .us. Vegetarian House caters also, and the catering business is booming. I was there on a Saturday. The restaurant business was booming. Every seat was filled. This great 100% vegan restaurant, organic food, non-GMO, raw options, great desserts, salads, organic juice made fresh. It's just really a phenomenal place. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, vegetarianhouse.us. Very delicious. And also what I find is very delicious lately, I am drinking Health Aid Kombucha, which you might see in your natural foods market. It seems to be taking off. And just so many flavors. And there's the cold press kombucha, super teas. I'm looking at the super tea here that, let's see, black currant and maca root and great ingredients in Health Aid Kombucha. You can go to Health Aid or health-aid.com. Health Aid is handcrafted in small batches using only the freshest organic and raw ingredients, flavored with cold-pressed juice, fermented 100% in glass and packaged in UV-protected amber bottles. But I think people are really liking the taste. It's really refreshing, really delicious. You also have the super teas. Health Aid creating a special union of two powerful foods, natural botanical superfoods and raw organic kombucha. And delicious, fantastic, wonderful, marvelous. All vegan, organic, kosher, raw, gluten-free. It's Health Aid. Really? The election is tomorrow? Really? Really? I think we have the Halloween show now archived, the October 31st show. So it's a day, you know, if you want to get your mind off something scary like the election, listen to something scary like our Halloween show at goveganradio.com, where there are hundreds of shows archived for your protection. Hillary, tomorrow's election day, and I don't know, Hillary supports the death penalty, as you might expect. She's supported mass incarceration. Kind of sounds like the Humane Society of the United States, which supports the death penalty and mass incarceration for all animals. And Hillary supports the death penalty, I think, for everyone also, you know. The death penalty, on that she seems to want universal coverage. Let everybody be covered under the death penalty. She's an arms dealer. She's a weapons salesperson. And, the more death, the more profit, right? The better. So if we could just have universal coverage around the planet, covered by the death penalty, certainly up to 2 million people in Iraq suffered the death penalty for Hillary's war mistake. Great experience at war mistakes. We want more war mistakes in the future, like a war with Russia. That'll be a great war mistake. And Hillary wants that no-fly zone, which U.S. generals tell us will lead to war with Russia, that no-fly zone in Syria. We're also told there'll be many innocent civilians killed if a no-fly zone is established. So that's great. More death penalty. More death penalty for all, huh? Actually, I think calling it the death penalty somewhat trivializes it. You know, I mean, it's really more than a penalty, isn't it? Like, oh, offside, 5 yards, you know, offside penalty. Well, you can kind of make that up on the next play, right? But I think the death penalty is a little more permanent than that. You know, there's more finality than it just being a penalty. Anyway, here we are in the 21st century, supposedly civilized, and how many police states in the U.S. still allow the death penalty? 30 states, including here in liberal California, with a liberal oil man governor, Jerry Brown. Here we are with liberal state-sponsored murder still being allowed. How hypocritical is it, huh? In this religious country that we have, huh? Right? That, I don't know. Wasn't one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill? Huh? And we allow killing, life and death decisions based on people whose judgment could be as bad as Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump making these life and death decisions for people. We allow people to suffer the death penalty, knowing how people lie in a country where lying is now an art form. Lying accomplishes it. It gets you the highest office in the land, huh? So people are, you know, going to die based on what people say in a country where lying is an art form, huh? So the state of California is, when it comes down to it, right, it's as barbaric as Saudi Arabia in this regard. In Saudi Arabia, where they behead people in the streets, or they stone them, public executions, huh? So really, what right does the state, you know, what right does, you know, the state, which is run by corrupt politicians who are influenced by greed, what right does the state have to kill? To kill anyone, really. The state shouldn't have that right. Why have we given that right to the state? You know, we vote for our oppressors, basically, right? When we vote for president, we're voting for somebody who will oppress us here. And we hope, oppress everybody else around the world equally. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know how we give the state the power to kill. You know, when it kills, the state lowers itself. It diminishes itself. You know, I mean, it sinks to the level of killing. I mean, it's the level of the killer upon whom we're attempting to exact some revenge, huh? So, you know, it sinks to the level of killing, you know. Even if it is killing a killer. Even if it's killing someone wrongfully convicted, it's wrong for the state to be killing. I don't trust the judgment of the state. I don't trust the veracity of the state. Yeah. Many years ago, I interviewed the actor Ed Asner on my radio program. At that time, this shows how long ago it was, I was actually involved with promoting a campaign called Meat Out for Farm, which I now consider to be a bogus organization. But back then, I worked with Farm. I actually got media publicity for Farm and Meat Out. And by the way, today is Meatless Monday, isn't it? Another worthless campaign. I wish Farm would stop promoting Meatless Mondays or Meat Out Mondays, which we have learned to be a boon, a bonanza for the egg industry. On Meatless Mondays or Meat Out Mondays, people just eat more cheese and dairy. Cheese is dairy. They eat more eggs and dairy. The egg industry thanks Meatless Mondays for helping it achieve its highest sales in 30 years. Yep. That's what we're doing. And then tomorrow, Tuesday, is make up for the sacrifice of Meatless Mondays. And, you know, let's eat twice the amount of meat. Let's do that, right, to make up for Meatless Monday when we had to sacrifice, right? But somebody asked me, what documentation do I have that Meatless Mondays has led to a bonanza for egg industry sales. Well, Diane Rehm does a show in the Washington, D.C. area on WAMU, and she had guest Paul Shapiro, who was the former vice president of farm animal protection for HSUS, now vice president of policy. He was on that program with his comrade, Paul Sauder, S-A-U-D-E-R, president of Sauder Eggs and the chairperson of the American Egg Board. And he's the one who thanked the animal rights movement and Meatless Mondays, Meat Out Mondays, for record sales, record egg sales. Because it's not Vegan Monday. And why should it just be Vegan Monday when it needs to be Vegan Monday through Sunday? Why, you know, why just one day a week will we engage in moral behavior? And then, you know, why would we do that just one day out of the year? But, you know, some years ago, Meat Out seemed like a good idea to me, promoting a campaign where people were asked to, you know, give up meat, even just for one day. So, you know, and at the time, like I said, it seemed like a good idea, you know, so, but Meat Out is really an antiquated, you know, it's an anachronism now. It's actually detrimental to ask people to not eat meat just one day out of the year. The first day of spring, that's when it is. And then we find out, oh, they'll wind up eating eggs and dairy that day anyway, so what's the point, huh? Anyway, it's not the right thing to ask of people in 2016. Right now, we need to ask people. We don't need, you know, Meat Out one day a year. We need Vegan 365. That's what we need to be asking people. I wish Farms Animal Rights Conference would do that. And now, as I said, we have Meat Out Mondays and record egg sales. Anyway, so Ed Asner was on my show. The actor, he played Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He had his own series. He was in some big movies. You know. So anyway, and he was willing to give up meat for a day. He was a spokesperson for Meat Out, even though he was a big chicken eater. So he came on my show. You know, Ed Asner is known as an activist, you know, an activist for the cause of workers and, you know, just that kind of person. So when Ed was on the show, I asked him, what really interests you? I know that you're doing Meat Out this one day. Okay, great. But what's really your cause? What really turns you on? What really interests you? And Ed said, it's the death penalty. He's just so against the death penalty. And I said to him, Ed, well, all those chickens you eat, they're all condemned under the death penalty. They're all being killed. Not one of them committed a crime. The only crime was to be born. They're all harmless. They're all innocent. And they're all suffering the death penalty for you to be eating. And his eyes just lit up, you know. It was just like, you know, the light, you know. He saw the light. I don't know how long he saw the light, but I mean, after the next day, his office called me and it was asking where vegan food was available near his office in Los Angeles. So, and now in California, we have a proposition on the ballot tomorrow. It's Proposition 62, California Proposition 62, the repeal of the death penalty initiative. That's Proposition 62. A yes vote supports repealing the death penalty and making life without the possibility of parole the maximum punishment for murder. A no vote opposes this measure, repealing the death penalty. And then it says here that there is another death penalty related measure, Proposition 66, that also appears on the ballot tomorrow. So anyway, the overview is Yeah, and where am I getting this? Is it Ballotpedia, I think, where it says the overview? The status of the death penalty in California as of 2016, California was one of 30 states in which the death penalty was legal, it says here. 30 states in the U.S. What a civilized Saudi Arabia we are, huh? Well, I guess we're not beheading people in the streets and we're not stoning them. But, you know, this is what happens in Saudi Arabia. Anyway, so it says in 1972, the California Supreme Court ruled the state's capital punishment system unconstitutional. However, in 1978, Proposition 7 reinstated the death penalty. Voters rejected an initiative to ban capital punishment titled Proposition 34 in 2012. So now what we have is, what did I say it was? It's Proposition 62. I think maybe I will be, maybe this will make my decision for me as to whether I am going to vote or not tomorrow. Again, I'm an undecided voter. I haven't even decided whether I'm going to show up at the polling place, much less who will get my vote. So it says yes on 62 raised over $10.2 million and no on Proposition 62 had received $12.5 million. So more than $2 million more to defeat this, as I would imagine prison industry would want. So that's as of November 3rd, 2016. Yes on 62 is spending contributions to approve Proposition 62 and defeat Proposition 66. No on 62 is spending to defeat Proposition 62 and approve Proposition 66. Polls indicate that about 42% of residents support and 46% oppose the measure, because we want blood, we want revenge, huh? So Proposition 62 versus Proposition 66. Proposition 62 and Proposition 66 are not compatible measures. Therefore, if both are approved by a majority of voters, then the one with the most, well, to be grammatically correct, I guess I should say, the one with more yes votes would supersede the other. And then it has this table here comparing Proposition 62. Proposition 62 repeals the death penalty, and Proposition 66 keeps the death penalty in place. Proposition 62 replaces the death penalty with life in prison without the possibility of parole as the maximum punishment for murder. And Proposition 66 changes, let's see, Proposition 66 changes the death penalty procedures to speed up the appeals process by putting trial courts in charge of initial petitions challenging death penalty convictions, establishing a time frame for death penalty review, and requiring appointed attorneys to work on death penalty cases. So basically, it seems like we have Proposition 62 to repeal the death penalty and Proposition 66 to speed up, you know, to hasten state-sponsored murder. Pretty strange. Okay. Anyway, so I appeal to all supporters who want to repeal the death penalty to please go vegan and end the death penalty for the millions and billions of innocents who created no crime, who are harmless, whose only crime was to be born. If you oppose the death penalty, how can you possibly consume meat, dairy, fish, and eggs? Just for your enjoyment, totally unnecessary to consume meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Actually, Science seems to tell us that such consumption is detrimental to your health. It's detrimental to the environment. So how about it? You know, we're into, we support various social justice causes, and certainly we would oppose the death penalty, and we would ask those who oppose the death penalty to join us in a significant action against the death penalty and go vegan. I would like to thank the Stanford Inn for support of this radio program. The Stanford Inn is the only vegan eco-resort in the USA. It's on the beautiful Mendocino Coast in Northern California. You can go to stanfordinn.com, go hang out there, do a lot or do nothing. Just hang out in the beautiful environs. There are organic gardens there. The food is grown for Raven's Restaurant, renowned vegan restaurant. There's a book, Dining at the Raven's, put out by the Stanfords, the owners of the Stanford Inn. You can go there, you can bike, you can canoe, you can take part in the wellness program. That's stanfordinn.com. So I think that will just about do it for our program this week. Remember, we are now doing the show live Mondays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's not daylight time anymore, so we're doing the show under the artificial lights, still breathing the chemtrails, of course, as anybody who's voting for Hillary tomorrow probably has breathed many chemtrails. I don't know what explains it, right? I'm just in shock that, you know, we see people like Michael Moore and Bill Maher and, you know, just everybody supporting warmongering and Wall Street and deception and corruption. Okay, have at it. Tomorrow's election day, and Wednesday we will all commiserate and be depressed. And, you know, if you want to take your mind off something scary like the election, you can go listen to our scary Halloween show, now available at GoVeganRadio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this program. Professor Gary Francione returns next week with his regular weekly commentary, and we'll have the show on Mondays, live Mondays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're not listening at that time, it's archived permanently at GoVeganRadio.com. Thank you for listening.